Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come. That's the name. When it says, David said, I want to, the one thing I have desired, all right, is to come into your temple, to behold your face, and meditate upon your perfections. I think, was it God's word we used last time, or good news? These are the things we said we are supposed to meditate upon. If you hear a man say that, like Nietzsche, the philosopher, atheistic philosopher, said that God is dead, you will laugh and say, to him who was, who is, and who is to come. That's your answer. Listen, every situation of life has the answer coded already in the scriptures. Yes, these are the perfections of God. Let's continue reading. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Now notice verse 5 now. And from Jesus Christ. Remember God and the Lord Jesus. This is eternal life, that they will know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent. Remember, being God, many people recognize that there is a God, but they don't realize that there is none else. They know there is creator God, but they don't realize that the prosperity God is the same God. There is creator God, but advancement is based upon my certificate and where my children are born. I want to give my children a chance in life. So what do? I look for a geographical area to tie their origin to it and say that's a chance in life. That's foolishness in life. There's not a chance. Let me not start here. Let us just continue reading the scriptures. Many people, like I was saying, they realize that there is a creator God, but they don't realize that he's the same God as a God of prosperity. He's a God of the future of your children. These are names you should call him. You should recognize him. The God of the future of my children. Everything is in the Bible. You will see, we're going to get there in a moment. Verse 5, he said, I'm from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, that's the name, who bears witness to the truth, that's his name. The firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. Now, this is one thing I love so much. He said, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. That is an act of Christ. That is one thing he has done. That is how he is described. To him who loves us and has released us from our sins by his blood. Let's continue reading. And has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now I'm jumping some verses, okay? Go to verse 8. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God. I am the beginning and the end. Who is and who was and who is to come? The Almighty. I ask myself, why does God go through all of this to describe himself? Why didn't he just come to John? John, I'm your God. Sit down. Write these things down. I hope you're getting my point here. Yeah. Why didn't he just come to John? Say, John, I'm God. Sit down. Let's talk. Or just say, John, bring out your paper and pen and write. No, we sit down and describe. He would sit down and describe. What am I understanding from that? It tells me many things will have been obscuring the sight of John from knowing the truth. For example, Nero, Caesar, those days persecuting him. Somebody carried John and put on the island of Patmos. So God came to tell him, this is not the beginning of your life, it's not the end. I am the beginning and the end. Forget Caesar. Are you getting my point here? If you ever get fired from a job, let me tell you how to react. Don't go and say, God, I never miss paying my tithe. Why do you want my life to be tithe now? God, after all, I have served you. Anytime they come for offering, I'm number one in front. If my first fruit was not complete, should have said so. Do they have to fire me? Say, God, let us negotiate. If you will restore my job, first 2 months salary, you alone. Please tell your neighbor for me. That is foolishness. Warn the person, that is foolishness.
you should react like this. You get to him when they have sacked you. Say, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the one who is, who was, and he is to come. My destiny is in his hands. Believe me, Christians need to learn to pray. Oh, they need to learn to pray. That's why God, you see, I was reading this Bible. I found out that the Lord loaded the scriptures with a description of himself and ascribing glory to his name. Because many times, in fact, pastors these days, many of us, they should line us up and flog us very well. Why? We take glory away from Christ every day. We actually preach that the devil is in charge of this earth. We preach it. That the devil is in charge of the earth. Why? That until Adam's lease wears away, the devil is the president of America, the president of Nigeria. Why? It is on this earth. So the devil is in charge of the world. That is one thing that God warned John. He said, I am the beginning. I am the ending. The Alpha. The Omega. He said, what about when things are not going right? It's very simple. It is called the anger of the Lord. He even said it. He said, I am God who has indignation every day. There are people annoying me every day, and I punish them every day. That's one of his names. And that's why when Israel will sin and they want to repent, they say, Lord, why have you taken our sin and kept it in the light of your countenance? They understood that nobody has power against us if God is on our side. That's so the amount of power they don't have is the degree to which God is withdrawn from their side. That's all. That's why you read through the books of the former dispensation. You read through the history of Israel. They will tell you, if a man did not intend to kill another man, but God only gave him by chance into his hands. You don't know what by chance. I'm just adding by chance for you to understand. That is, a man is cutting a tree, and the tree falls down, and he kills another man. He didn't know the man was there. They will tell you that God gave him into the other man's hands. Israel was taught to reason like that. Why? Because the power of life and death, they were taught, was with God. I hope you're getting my point here. Yes, they understood. You know, when Christians now came, we understood in part. But we now wiped everything away. Say the people of Israel did not understand that there was a devil. That is the devil that killed that man. The devil does not kill anybody until God authorizes him to kill. The devil has to go to God and plead for the power to kill. That's it. Look, that's what happened in the life of Job is the principle all the time. Let's read a few more of that. I will now go to a place where I'm going. If you go down to verse 12, they now began to write. He said, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Now notice verse 13. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, which when it had been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in his strength. Now this was Jesus he was describing. And then, when Jesus was going to describe himself, because John fell down at his feet in verse 17, Jesus now decided to describe himself. He said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Now notice this. The living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Listen, that is your Jesus that's been described here. I hope you're getting my point here. Now, I continue to read this book of Revelations. You go to the verse of chapter 2, he was described. You go to verse 8, he was described. Verse 12, he was described. Verse 18, he was described. Verse 23,
He said, I am he who searches the minds and hearts. He was described. You go to chapter 3, first verse, he was described. Seventh verse, he was described. He kept on going like that, and like verse 14, he described himself, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I also overcame, he said in verse 21, and sat down with my Father on his throne. That's Jesus being described. Please, you see where I'm going in a moment, all right? I just read through the Bible. I decided to start marking. I decided to start marking. It will talk about Jesus, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He has overcome. So as to open the book and the seven seals. Then you notice the lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which he says are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he kept on describing the lamb. Worthy are you, chapter 5 now, verse 9. Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Emphasis being that Jesus was worthy to take the book and break his seals. These are descriptions of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please bear all of this as I'm saying in mind. All right? Now, I'll just give you an example of some things that I did. I just went through the Bible, started marking this. You know, the Lord helping me, I intend to go from the beginning, Genesis to Revelation, marking it. Marking it. I think we should thank God for digital Bibles. Otherwise, I'll have bought a physical Bible and call it the book of the name of the Lord and the glory of his name. Are you getting my point here? Very important. You see why it's important. Go to the book of Numbers chapter 6. There's something I've been saying again and again. When God wants to give you control in life, he doesn't teach you scientific methods. He gives you his name in that area. What the Lord has been doing at different times is to reveal himself to people. Why does he do that? In fact, before you go to that number chapter 6, all right? If you have opened to it, hold it there. But quickly flip over to Exodus chapter 6. You will see something. Exodus chapter 6. What the Lord has been doing from time and is still doing till now is to reveal himself. That is how we become what we are supposed to be. That is how we can serve him effectively. That is how we can do for him what we are supposed to do in this life. Without that, we can't do anything. Are you getting my point here? Without him, we can't do anything. When we're talking about abiding in him, these are the things we are talking about. Are you getting me? These are the things we are talking about. What God has always done is to reveal himself to people. That's why Abraham will build an altar and he give it a name, Jehovah Nissi. That was Moses, all right? That was Moses and Joshua. Abraham will build an altar and give it a name, Jehovah Jireh. Look, that's to let you know a face of God they had come to understand. That's how people gain control in life. Like I was saying, you want anything you want to bless your children as an example. It's not time to, you know, people will gather money. Let me send them abroad for education. If they can get abroad, go abroad for education, you know, they come out with a master's degree or a BSc from university, you know. Like Yinka was saying the other day, he told somebody, listen, they're full ground now. Gone are those days. Yeah. It's not those things that we need. People will sell land. Why? Their wife is pregnant. Why should the pregnancy of your wife dispossess you of landed property? If you want to give offering, give offering. Are you getting my point? Why? They say so that you can go and born in America. Listen to me, I'll say it to you clearly. It has no meaning. It is as good as a boy born in Burundi. If God is blessing the one in Burundi, the one born in America will work for him. Please, let's tell ourselves the truth, though. Let's tell ourselves the truth. Let's tell ourselves the truth. Don't think you have done your child a favor because you managed to squeeze your wife to go and give it to him in, where now? In Canada. Did you say Singapore? Those one will not, they won't give you citizenship. All those from small islands, they guard their citizens jealously. Switzerland is the worst of them all. Even your children, if you were born there, immigrants who live there, give birth to children there. The children are not Swiss citizens. And they hold your own tight. Recently, they're not making noise. They should liberalize it. I say, everybody go home. What's all this noise you're making? God gave you a place where you can go and fight. It's called your father's land. You can get that. This one is my own. But what am I going to say? Let's remove our eyes from those things. I feel so prophetic. It will disappoint you one day. So people talk about, I told you before, be careful what people call open doors. Many of these open doors are what? Open traps. Because everything that's open can either be a door or a trap. If traps are not open, they can't catch anything. What happens is a matter of fact. For a trap to catch, you know what it does? It opens. So when you see an open door, check, ask, were you the one that told me that Sam Adeyemi said that anytime you see a door that's open, enter, don't close the door first. Check whether it has handle behind. There are many times you open a door, you close it, you find out there's no handle inside. And the prince, I was listening to him, he said, be careful what you take your children into. He said, Lot took his children into Sodom. He couldn't bring them out. He said, Lot was the one that carried his family into Sodom. He said, time to bring them out. He did not have the power. So the prince said, be very careful. That's just what I'm talking about. If you notice, I'm not talking about this is right, this is wrong. If it is like, oh, I want to go and, like I said, I want my wife to be feeling the breeze, the cold breeze coming down from Siberia as she's delivering in Russia. Why? It's always been the dream of my heart. Please have fun. But the God of the future of your children is the same God and there is none else. And that God does not need you to be in UK before he can give you breakthrough. All the testimonies that are only engineered by good roads and constant power, that's not the true God. The true God creates, you know, when he sees darkness, he says, light, be. That's what he is like. If God needs the environment to be cool, perfect, before he blesses you, he's on leave. He has filed his power. An angel is acting for him. He's not feeling well. He went to London for treatment. I've told you. You have an acting God handling your affairs. If God says, if your environment is not perfect, I can't bless you. So God, he said, God, when are you going to get well? Yes. Because the guy talking to me right now is an acting God. Yes, I'm telling you. If your God needs the environment to be perfect before he can bless you, he has running stomach. Or he's asleep. Of course, this God I have described, he's not the father of my Lord Jesus. You know that?
Yes.
He's not. God, the father of my Lord Jesus, looks at me and says, Banky, come. Endure hardship as a true soldier. I don't need the environment to be perfect before me and you can work together. He looks at me and says, come, out of where everything is built up, follow me to a land I'm going to show you, and there I will make your name great. That's the God I'm used to. I said we should open somewhere. Exodus chapter what? 6. I wanted to bring out something. You see where I'm going, no? Just my plenty talk. I'm not confused at all. In fact, my head has never been clearer than it is today. I was saying to you, no, really, our God wants us to just know him. You know, there's a way you know somebody. One day somebody said I said something. I was told my wife said, my husband, no. He didn't say it. No, but that's what this person said. He said, my husband, no. She picked the phone and called me. This person said, you canceled her like this. Is that so? I said, did I smoke something? You know things I don't say. He said, I know. I just said, let me just confirm because somebody's arguing with me here. He said, my husband does not give such counsel. One day, a young man came up. We were doing a seminar here. I think one of our first or second seminar. Those early days of Cosmo FM. He came all the way from Nsukka for a seminar at night. Olayinka, do you remember? Without money and without where to, he asked mom and was nowhere to stay. So we're even feeling happy, praise God, though. The world is working. People travel all the way from Nsukka to come at their seminar in Enugu. I mean, it wasn't the father. One guy came from, is it Kogi or Benue at that time?
And he came to me and said, God, do with me anything you like. I have come. He had no plans for his life. So I should just control his life for him. If it's now, I have things for him to do. That time I was afraid. I sent him back home. Go home and go and tell what the Lord has done for you. So I wasn't too surprised. This guy came one that day from Usuga. So they now said that, he said he wants to see Pastor Banky. He and his friend, two of them. They want to see Pastor Banky. So they said, what is it? He said, the head that I help people go abroad. Did you hear that? See why you are laughing. They want to go to the abroad. They came from Usuka that the head, that once they just see me, or more, they are going to the abroad. When I was told that, like, somebody was trying to fool them. Somebody was trying to fool them. Or maybe the person said, okay, go. When you will hear words. They obviously are two boys who wouldn't walk. They were waiting for a breakthrough to go abroad. Somebody said, okay, go and meet Pastor Banky. He will help you go abroad. And they came from Usuka. Sat down from the same. At the end, they said they wanted to see me. That I will help them go abroad. Hey, God, though. Have mercy on you. The Lord is good. I mean, you know, where did that come from? That's how it is with God. You know, you know God to a particular level. There are things he says, God doesn't say that. That's what he's talking about. You just know the charge, the control he has over every aspect of your life. And that's why God likes to introduce himself again and again and again. He got to Israel and said, I am God, the Lord that heals you. That's the record. That is, he wanted them to know. So anytime there's sickness, don't be fooled. Don't panic. And being a doctor that I am, my own medicine doesn't know incurable. That's what God is saying. So he said, I am the Lord that heals. He introduces himself all the time. Let's quickly read this. We'll now get back to that Numbers chapter 6. He said in verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. When he feels the force of my strong hand, this is New Living Translation, he will let the people go. In fact, he will force them to leave his land. Then God said to Moses, I am Yahweh or Jehovah, depending on the translation you are using, the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob as El Shaddai, God Almighty. But I did not reveal my name, Yahweh or Jehovah, to them. And I reaffirmed my covenant with them. Under his terms, I promised to give them the land of Canaan, where they were living as foreigners. You can be sure that I have heard the groans of the people of Israel, who are now slaves to the Egyptians, and I'm aware of my covenant with them. Let me stop here. Are you getting me? Now, there's something I want to bring out here. Now, when he said, I am the Lord, that is Jehovah or Yahweh, whichever translation you are using, he said, this is a name that Abraham did not know. This is a name that Isaac did not know. This is a name that Jacob did not understand. They all knew me as El Shaddai, God Almighty. Literally, well, I've heard some people say that it means the Almighty Breasted One. I provide them for them anywhere. I take care of them anywhere they go. But they did not understand me as a covenant-keeping God. That's the meaning of that word, Yahweh. He said, now that your people are in bondage, I need to reveal myself in another way. And that my name that you're about to see is the name of deliverance. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. That is, for them to be delivered from bondage, they first had to understand the kind of God they were dealing with. That's how you operate with people. That's how you operate. Listen to me. If you move into any sphere of life and you don't recognize God in that area, you will stumble there. Men will threaten you. Listen, you know, there are things I just look back upon that in the scriptures, and I will just say to myself, there must have been hidden codes inside here that the Bible didn't write for us overtly, but they are inside them. What am I going to say? For example, Mishael, Azariah, and what's the name of the, Ananiah, three of them. When they were going to go into the fiery furnace, I just imagined that God appeared to them and told them, don't worry, I am the God of fire. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That I start fire and I quench fire. When they stood and said, "Oh, we'll not bow, they will not bow, we'll throw you into the fiery furnace, don't worry about it. Our God's gonna..." When a man begins to talk like that, you get within, don't chop. No, when you wake up, you won't just be opening your mouth and you just talk like that. You have seen something, you have eaten something. I am convinced. You see, you must understand, the Bible doesn't write many things for us. I gave as an example before. I said, I know God's character. When he said they should go and spy out the land, I said, "Lord, this is not your character. Why were you able to go and spy out the land? Look at it, when they finished spying the land, look at what happened." And I kept on thinking, then one day I got into Deuteronomy. And Moses said, "You went to spy out the land because you asked, and God now said, I should let you go." But if you read it only in Numbers 13, you would think God just said, "Oh yeah, now go and spy the land." He said it was not God. That was Moses told them later. It was your opinion. It was your desire. In the same manner, you look through the scripture, somebody later on you discover some things. I am convinced now that, listen, sometimes you'll be wondering, will I have faith like this man? Don't worry. If God wants to sacrifice Isaac, he knows what to tell you. And if you say amen to the thing he tells you, your hand will carry Isaac, carry knife, carry rope. I say, "Isaac, come, I want to show you something." You do that when you have come to know God. I am persuaded in the same, these men, they were not planning to bow down. I'm not saying they were planning to bow down. They had made up their minds at the beginning that we will follow this God in this strange land. Then when it was time to face the fiery furnace, the furnace heated 7 times. God just appeared to them. Say, "I'm the God of the fire. So let's go together." I hope you're getting my point here. I am the beginning of fire and the end of fire. You get what I'm saying? That's the revelation of God with which they step into the flame, and the flame could not hurt them. So when he was going to deliver these people from Israel, he said, "Let me tell you what I am. I am the God that remembers covenants and sweat if I have to." Of course, he doesn't sweat. "But I will do everything I have to make sure that my covenant is kept." So that is a name that Abraham did not know. Isaac did not know that name. Jacob did not know it. Why? It was not necessary for their time. This is a time to activate the power in the name, Jehovah. That's how the Lord operates. So he now says, Pastor Banky, thank you very much. You said this thing before. Say, what is the purpose of today's message? Let's now go to Numbers chapter 6. After this, brethren, I believe many people listening to me, we pray differently. You know, for a very long time. Now, what I want to tell you, I will not be dogmatic about some of it. I'll tell you what I won't be dogmatic about, but I want you to see something. For a long time, there are English expressions that you read, and you get used to them, but they don't really fit grammar very well. Like, "The Lord bless you." They get as it be, if you think about it very well. Should have been, "May the Lord bless you. I pray the Lord will bless you." Now, so when you say "the Lord bless you," that's actually what you imply. But I thought about it. I said, why didn't he just write it like that? I'll tell you why they did not write it like that. Because that's exactly how it was written in the Hebrew. "The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee." You see what I'm saying in a moment. No, verse 22. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you." Verse 26. "The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace." It says, "So you shall..." Now, this is where I'm going. It says, "So you shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel." He did not say, "So you shall invoke my blessings." Did you notice it? He says, "So you shall invoke my name." Literally, in Hebrew, it says, "So you shall put my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them." When I read this, I meditated upon it. I said, no wonder I didn't say, "May the Lord bless you." He didn't say... Modern translations will use the word, "May the Lord bless you." But literally, the Hebrew said like that, "The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace." He said, when you do this, you are putting my name on the sons of Israel. And then I will turn around in turn and bless them. You know what? How I read it? Like I said, I won't be dogmatic about this. This is how I read it. He was saying to them, in effect, if I want to bless this man, I will say blessing the Lord. Being kept, the Lord. Increase, the Lord. Favor, the Lord. Protection, the Lord. I'm saying it will not come from anywhere else. It will come from the Lord. That is, the name of the Lord is your blessing. The name of the Lord is your increase. The name of the Lord is your protection. The name of the Lord is your favor. He said, when I do that, when you do, I put his name of God upon him, then God will follow him about. I hope you're getting my point here. That when I do that, I will have put the name of the Lord upon him. You know what we do a lot of times? That we start, you know, as begging God. But God, what God said to Moses is that, put my name on his head. He says, thus you will invoke my name on his head. Now, that's why I said everything I said. So when you see things in the scriptures, he said, the Lord who loved us and washed us away, released us from our sins, and made us a kingdom of priests and kings to the Father. What is he saying? If you see somebody who is in bondage, who gives his life to Christ, you invoke the name of Jesus on his head by saying, the Lord who has broken the power of sin in your life, you recite it upon him. Next time the man sees iniquity, iniquity will disappear. That's why Corey Blake and many other preachers said, stop talking to God about your problems. It's enough. Stop talking to the problems about God. It's not wishful thinking. My God, who is able? You know what I mean? This kind of, you are talking to the witch. Don't worry, my God is able. You know? No, that's, I'm not talking wishful thinking. That's why you read through the scriptures. What the Lord used to do is just describe himself. So a man is going to, from here, traveling through difficult places. Maybe he has to cross. He hears news that his family is in distress. His wife, his children. And between him and his home, he's Sambisa Forest. And he's about to leave. You know, naturally, human beings are afraid. Boko Haram, no Boko Haram. Invoke the name of God that does great wonders on his head. And let him walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He will not need to fear any evil. That's why I read this. God said to them, in effect, invoke my name in your life. Like I was saying earlier, why would my children be blessed? Go through scriptures. Find out what God, the Father of the Lord Jesus, has said concerning himself. And invoke that God upon your children. Listen to me, if you like, give birth to them in Kathmandu. They will rule America if necessary. That's why God is my witness. For many of you here know me enough. I will not spare $50,000 extra to give birth to my children in a strange place. It's not worth it. Look, it's not bragging, no. It's just not worth it to me. It's not. It's not worth it. God in heaven, who I serve with all my heart, knows I'm not joking. It's not worth it. When my wife was pregnant for the first time, it was offered to her free of charge. She did not take it because she was told it will take many weeks before I see the baby. Because, you know, the baby, of course, you won't deliver today and travel tomorrow. She said, no, thank you very much. I'll go born picking for the next 6 weeks. Now put the phone near the baby. Let him hear my voice. Now we'll discuss. You know, my wife just said this matter of fact. Like, if they had said, you will come back next week. She said, no, Hala. Like I said to you, now trip. I want to go and see snow while I'm delivering. It's good. Bye-bye, husband. I want to go and hold snow to help me. Not a problem. No, really, really. But she was just told that she will stay behind. I brought for like, is it 2 months or 3 months, they said, I've forgotten how long, before you come back home. And her question was that, that's how long it will take before my husband sees his child? He said, yes. I said, forget it. I'm not interested. Her mother looked at her and said, you and your husband are strange people. People are very strange. And listen, she wasn't trying to act by faith. Though. She wasn't trying to impress anybody. Kingdom world like you and I know it today, all of us gathering here like this, it wasn't happening that time. I wasn't preaching to somebody to impress anybody.
He was just that a young woman that was just like me, did not think it was worth anything. He wasn't worth anything. So when, look, what my children need, I tell you all the time, I invoke the name of God upon their heads. I told my son flat. If I heard me use it to preach, even if I didn't tell him, he heard me preach. And he knows me well. What I preach and what I practice are the same things. It's not like daddy is preaching, oh, get home, we'll talk serious matter. No. Whatever I hear said here, the boy knows it's fine now. Yeah, he didn't. He said they are doing Cambridge lessons in their school. Say he wants to join. I call him. Do they pay for the Cambridge lessons? He said yes. I will pay for the Cambridge lessons. Yes. I said the answer is no. Went to school, told the teacher, you don't know my father. The guy is not planning to pay. No, he knows. Once I say no, one of them said they should bring, how much was it? He won 1,000 naira in school. 1,000. I forgot how many thousands I paid for school fees for the term. But they billed all of them. Is it 1,000 or 2,000? I said, I'm not paying. I wrote a letter to him, to the head teacher. I said, I told my son, give your head teacher that your father said he's not paying. What was it that they said went wrong that time? I have forgotten. The boy carried the teacher. 1,000 naira. Where's your 1,000? My father said I should give you a letter. Thank you. I'm sure the head teacher will say, which kind of father is this your father? It was when the head teacher saw my wife next time that she explained to my wife why the children needed to pay the money. My wife now said, I beg, let the boy go and pay. That's when I agreed for him to bail. My wife even said that all his friends are doing. I said, when did we become, you know, when did democracy rule my house? So I said, Cambridge. I said, oh boy, you are going to UNN. They don't need Cambridge qualifications to enter UNN. So all this stuff we are talking. I said, it's not UNN you are going. I told him, you have a choice of three universities. Either go to UNN, UNIBEN, or Covenant University. But when JAMB came out, they said you can't choose two federal institutions. I said, okay. So he mixed them up. It is not because of lack of money. If he dash me the money free of charge, I won't take it. Why? It doesn't mean anything. No, for me, it means what? Nothing. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. I'm not trying to play down on somebody else's country and all of that. Honestly, God sees my heart. For me, it means zero. It has no meaning. So if it was free, if he had come to me that day, say they are doing Cambridge lessons, I said, how much is it? They say it's part of our curriculum. Man, go ahead now, do it now. All of you now write Cambridge exam. Is it, they have a Cambridge exam, right? Some of you know now. Do they have a Cambridge exam? They do. You now, what is the purpose of it? In case you want to go abroad. Why are you laughing? Yoruba man has a saying. Say the thing where you don't want chop, not sniff. So I don't want the rice, but let me just smell it. No, they say saying that what you don't want to eat, why are you sniffing it? I mean, if the sniffing was free, it's even okay. I have to give you money to sniff Cambridge exam. No, what am I saying? Invoke my name on them. That's what he said. And that's what I've been talking about. That's why we read all of those things. There are problems that will be in your life. Enough of talking about the problems of the Lord. Go to that revelation we'll talk about. Like I was saying, no, I'm not saying you're open to it now, all right? I'm just saying. You have an issue like that, you just say, listen, don't disturb me. Let me read for you. Let me invoke for you the name of God, which is the name of God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in that area. That's what we are talking about. Concerning the prosperity of my children, he has a name. And what did he say? When you want to pray for those children, he said, that's the literal Hebrew. He said, put my name on them. And I want to advise you today, give your child, good enough, we can have many names. Give your child a name that puts God's name on him. It's important. That's my reason. Look, that practice I advocated here some time ago, let me go over it again. There are times you just sit down and just talk about the Lord. You're not asking any question, you're not making any prayer request. You just said, okay, sweetheart, sit down here, let's talk.
What do we want to talk? Let's talk about the Lord. In what area? What wonders of protection has he done? Okay? Start from Bible. Start in the Bible. From the beginning, find how he protected Abraham, how he protected this person, delivered David, delivered them, Israel through the power of Samson, through the power, using this man, what was his name now? Gideon, Jephthah, all of those things, Deborah, all those people that he delivered, all the great wonders that he did. Just talk about it. Bible stories. He's the God that did these great wonders. Then remember modern testimonies and talk about those testimonies. Do you know this is the same God that is our Father? Oh, let us worship this morning. So, Father, you are the God that does great wonders. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for salvation that we have in him. Thank you that we are in you. We are seated with Christ on your right hand in Jesus' name. Amen. Go about your business. You have put the name of God on your head. Do you get my point? What the world tries to do is to terrify us and make it look like something else is God apart from this, our God. They want to give us that impression that something else controls our life. And this is what I'm teaching today. Take your Bible, read through it. Now, you see what we are doing? We're not trying to make requests. We're just trying to get things right. That's a good one. We're trying to get things right. Like we've been studying Ecclesiastes. We have realized that promotion does not come from the East. It does not come from the West. We know that God is judge. And how did Solomon explain it in Ecclesiastes? He said, time and chance happen to all men. And what do we do as believers? When we are learning things, we learn what is right to do. We don't expect anything from them. People say, when you are diligent at your work, next thing you'll be promoted. You've read Solomon that diligent people, sometimes they get sacked because MD doesn't like the color of their ties. It's in the Bible like that. That's Ecclesiastes chapter what? 7. We say life has what? Traps. Sometimes men are trapped. So we know that. So we learn what is right to do and we do it consistently. When we want promotion, we go to Psalm 75. That's the one we want promotion. No. We just go to Psalm 75 as a habit. We are not manipulating with the name of God for promotion. We are habitually declaring it. When people are tempting us, make sure you go to work early so that your guy will see you and be promoted. And then you refuse to do anything so a guy will see. Will you go to work early? Of course you will. But you also go when you are aware that he's gone on leave for 6 weeks. That's proof you are not doing as eye service. Then when everybody is declaring, this is how you get promotion, you now open your Bible. Not from the East, not the West. Comment or exaltation. What's the next line? God is judge. Say, my Father is judge. God, the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, is judge. He is the one that lifts up one and he pulls down another one. I am not doing anything for eye service. Why? I have invoked the name of the Lord upon my career. I have invoked the name of the Lord upon my office. I have invoked the name, or I am invoking the name of the Lord upon the work that I do. God is judge. Do you make any requests? Nothing. Just do your work and leave it there. God said, I will now turn around and do what? And bless you. That is what we are talking about. When we say Christians should do what? Pursue the knowledge of God. I hope you've gotten my point today. I declare to you that favor will go with you.
Amen.
This week you are stepping into will be a week of greater favor than ever before.
Amen.
You will see the face of God clearer than ever before.
Amen.
You will know him more than you ever did.
Amen.
Your confidence in the knowledge of God will increase in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will make you walk in the knowledge of his will.
Amen.
You will walk in spiritual wisdom.
Amen.
You will walk in understanding. You will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
Amen.
You will please him in all respects.
Amen.
And you will bear fruit in every good work.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
Your Father, God, is your defender.
Amen.
He surrounds you. He protects you. He guides you. He guards you. He's a shield round about you.
Amen.
He's your light and your salvation.
Amen.
You will not fear anyone.
Amen.
He's a shield, the protection of your life.
Amen.
And you will have no cause to be afraid.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Economic hardship is not your portion.
Amen.
In the midst of this storm, you will float above the waters.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say it again, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
Every affliction, this is the word of the Lord concerning it. himself took. That's work, the work he has done. We are describing the glory of his name. Himself took your infirmities and your diseases. And by his stripe, you have been healed.
Amen.
Every affliction in your body hears that word.
Yes.
We lift up the name of Christ above everything that is negative in your life.
Amen.
We say, by his stripes, you have been healed.
Amen.
He is the healing God.
Amen.
He is the healing God.
Amen.
Is the Lord your doctor. I lift that name above your head. I lift that name on top of you. I place that name on you.
Amen.
Your father is your healer.
Amen.
And with him, there's nothing incurable.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Come on, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated far above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless somebody on your left or your right.